This episode of Bitch Popaganda was recorded on Friday, December 11th at the Bitch headquarters in Portland, Oregon. The following podcast contains language that might be considered questionable, including the word bitch, of course. Oh, and as ever, please excuse our background noise. We're asking Santa for a recording studio this year, but we're not exactly holding our breath over it. And now, Popaganda. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Bitch Popaganda. It's like The View, but we won't call you a hooker. I'm Kelsey Wallace, the web editor at Bitch, and with me today are...
I'm Danny Hayes, I'm the library coordinator here at Bitch.
I'm Briar Levitt, I'm the art director.
I'm Joanna Widener, I'm a contributing writer.
And today we are going to talk about Tiger Woods and Mark and Jenny Sanford and Douchebag, Is It Dead? So let's start with Tiger Woods because he's all over the place. And if you haven't been on the internet or seen any news or read any newspapers lately, about a week and a half ago, Tiger Woods was in a car accident outside of his house. And as more evidence became available, it started to look like maybe he was a victim of domestic violence because he had been caught cheating and his wife got upset with him and threw a cell phone at his face. Is that right? I heard she threw a cell phone at his face and also, like, scratched his lip and then chased him down the driveway with a golf club. And he crashed the car right outside of their house. And the story just, like, won't go away. It's just spinning bigger and bigger, right? So I don't know if anyone wants to start us off on what you think about some of the coverage of this or where you think it's going to end up. Joanna, do you want to explain a little bit about some of the information we found out since the car accident?
Well, I actually, as the list of call girls and mistresses ever expands, as if it's like characters in War and Peace or something, like you need a list to start keeping track of it. I've started to kind of, my attention has waned a little bit. I will admit I've been really obsessed with this story for many different reasons. But yeah, the list of folks that Tiger Woods has apparently been having an affair with has been growing, and I believe that he and his wife are in the process of renegotiating their prenuptial agreement so that she receives money that she was supposed to get after a certain number of years of being with him, to get that money now, on the contingency that she stays with him. So that's the latest I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of come out that he's been with several different women, some prostitutes, that he's, you know, I don't know, like, it just seems like every time I read a headline, there's kind of more to the story. But then beyond that, something that I think is interesting, and I don't know if anyone's been seeing any of this, is that I also have seen, like, a ton of just parody videos and just kind of, like, shitty jokes about it. And I don't know, like, did anyone see Saturday Night Live on Saturday, the skit?
I saw the clip of Keenan with the golf club bent over his head.
Right, yeah, Keenan Thompson and Blake Lively on Saturday Night Live played Tiger Woods and his wife Elin, and it's basically like a press conference where Tiger Woods keeps getting beat up more and more by his wife. And you know, that's the punchline, is that it's hilarious to see a man be a victim of domestic violence. And you know, to make matters just like a little stickier, Rihanna was the musical guest on Saturday, and so a lot of people were like, not only is this in poor taste to begin with, but you have someone who's been very public about being a victim of domestic violence, like, performing on the show. Maybe you should think twice about it. So I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on the fact that, you know, we think it's okay to make jokes like that. Is it because he's a man, or is it because he's really wealthy, or because he seems kind of like an ass anyway?
Well, I think it's the whole jury of your peers idea that I think, as the list of women grows longer and just you think, how could he have done this, and think that he was going to get away with it, it's almost, I think, in the public views, I mean, they probably thought, well, most people in that situation would be like, hell yeah, I'm going to throw a cell phone at him or hit him over the head with a golf club. I don't know. I do think it's a gendered thing, because I think it is the whole, the man's caught cheating and the woman is just going to freak out. And I think that I can't really see it happening the other way around, where a famous woman gets caught cheating with 13 men and the husband. I don't know. I just think that culturally it seems like a more acceptable image and a more parodyable image.
There was, I guess there were some reports that, and these aren't substantiated, but I think it was in maybe in the national, oh no, it was on TMZ.com, where a source said that Tiger had called this source, their friends, and said that his wife had, quote, gone ghetto on him.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and that he needed to go to Zales, of all places, and get what he called a Kobe special, which is a ring large enough to placate your wife because you've been cheating on her. And so, I mean, I don't know, it's like all these, like, it's like Mad Men, you know? It's like nothing has changed. It's just, it's like the guys can't keep their dicks in their pants, and that's how men are, but then the woman gets mad and gets hysterical, and then the guy buys her a ring, and then that's,
well, not
the
to mention
story.
The racial implications
of
him
course.
Saying she's gone ghetto.
Yeah.
What, you know, this is something only a black woman would, how only a way a black woman would respond. I mean,
right.
You get mad when your spouse cheats. Not saying you can beat on them, but you certainly have a feeling that you want to beat on them. She didn't stop her. She didn't stop at that. But, I mean, the fact that he has that, you know, is dealing with that racial element as well.
Yeah.
Adds a little salt to it.
And he used it as such a dismissive term. You know, it's like such a dismissive way to approach it on a many different levels that it's like,
it's offensive to black women and white women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Come on.
Right. It's kind of offensive all the way around. And I don't know, there's also an element, because I have been surprised that so many people are kind of going for the punchline of domestic violence. I mean, it's just like, in what universe is that ever going to seem funny? Like, I don't really care who's getting abused by their spouse. And it does sound like he's been acting really sleazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not denying that she has a reason to be angry, but, you know, it just seems like in such poor taste. I was seeing some, you know, some stupid, like, fake rap videos on YouTube about, you know, Tiger Woods, like, running away from his wife. And then, you know, I mean, this whole thing is just getting so weird. Like, I don't know if anyone else has seen those Taiwanese animated reenactment videos that are really popular of, like, computer animation of what people think happened.
Well, this is all, I mean, it all comes back to the catharsis of, that we feel when a celebrity screws up. And I mean, yes, he cheated on his wife and she responded in a stupid way, but we all love it when a celebrity messes up. And that's, I think that's what it ultimately boils down to, is like, even the best golfer on the planet, in the universe, has moral issues. He's not perfect, and therefore I feel better.
I think that's interesting. I think the catharsis part, it even goes beyond that situation, where it's almost like seeing Tiger Woods parodied in over and over again in different ways, much of it revolving around physical violence toward him, is sort of the way the country feels about him right now. Like, everyone's grossed out.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, it seems really unhealthy that the punchline, I mean, obviously it's unhealthy that the punchline is about punching him or whatever, but it's like a literal punchline, but it does seem to be the sort of like national, like, bleh, he's gross, you know, and we just, it's like we have to keep rehashing it. I don't know if that's a little too Freudian, but...
No, I think it does remind me, and like maybe it just reminds me of this because I saw a David Letterman top 10 that was all about how Tiger Woods could kind of get his image back, but... you know, I mean, in one of
that's
a,
ironic.
Yeah, and David Letterman was like, believe me, like, I know how it goes, waka waka. And it's like,
gross.
You know, we love, I guess, these punchlines about, I mean, we've talked about it on a previous, you know, propaganda episode about just, like, why it's, you know, kind of, like, expected that men are going to act this way. And then, you know, these people in positions of power, and it does usually seem to be men who just kind of can't keep it in their pants, and... especially, I mean, $60,000 on prostitutes, 13 different women that he's allegedly been with besides his wife since they were married, and it's just, like, it just keeps getting more and more out of control to me. Now there's going to be a porno movie based on it that's called Tiger's Wood. So I am laughing at that pun. So maybe it is funny, but I don't know. I mean, Briar, I think you're right that not only is he a celebrity, but he's just kind of beyond that in terms of being someone that maybe we, you know, feel a little bit of that, like, schadenfreude, that he's dealing with a lot of crap. Like, he's so wealthy, he's so talented, he's all over the place, and he's had a really, like, squeaky clean image. I mean, this isn't like, oh, I don't know, you know, Mick Jagger, yeah. Oh, he cheated. You right. know, it's like, oh, I'm really surprised. It's like, what, Tiger Woods? He's always wearing a polo shirt, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think, this is almost something that would be expected of, like you said, Kobe Bryant, like a basketball player, or a football player. It seems like these things happen fairly often. Not necessarily the same thing, but these sexual, you know, screw-ups. But, yeah, with a golfer, it's just like, I don't know, I think there's just this
But image. It just goes, but then it reminds you, yeah, he's a golfer, but, you know, look at all the politicians, look at all the... you know, professionals who are, you know, supposedly so refined and sophisticated and whatnot. It just doesn't matter.
I think it's there might be a class issue going on there too with that perception, because I also have been reading that people are starting to come out of the woodwork talking about the PGA Tour and saying it's like this dirty, disgusting sexcapade situation where they refer to women as the 19th hole and there's groupies. And it's the same, God. Yeah. It's the same thing, and it's like,
but we don't expect that because it is an upper class.
Yeah,
we do have associations, and it just proves that our associations are based on stereotypes.
The 19th hole.
The 19th hole.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like as good a time as any to segue into another high profile sexual transgressors situation. Mark Sanford, who you might remember as the governor of South Carolina, who said he was hiking the Appalachian Trail a few months back, and it turned out he was actually in Argentina with his soulmate. His wife, Jenny, announced today that she is filing for divorce, and she told Barbara Walters on an ABC special that it's been a crazy year. Certainly his actions hurt me, and they cause consequences for me, but they don't in any way take away from my own self-esteem. They reflect poorly on him. And when Barbara Walters asked if she would have stood up with him during his press conference where he confessed, she said no. And, you know, this is a different image of a politician's wife than we're used to seeing. So I don't know how people feel about, you know, for instance, Jenny Sanford versus, I'm forgetting Elliot Spitzer's wife's name, but... She stood right next to him as he confessed that he had spent $10,000 on one night of being with a prostitute, and
it's just refreshing to hear someone, a woman, talk for herself and say how she's feeling and not have to and decide she's not going to play the political game. I mean, Hillary did it. The wife of the guy in the airport?
Oh, Larry Craig.
Larry Craig's wife stood by her man.
Didn't Ted Haggard's wife stay with him too?
Yeah.
They all stay. I mean, I feel like this is, I mean, maybe it's not the first time, but you don't often hear of the wife saying, A, I'm not going to stand next to him when he admits it to the public, and B, I'm going to leave him while he's in office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's still the governor, right? He's
still the governor, yeah. And I read that he... Even yesterday, today she made the announcement she was divorcing him. Yesterday he was still saying, oh, we're going to try and be together. I mean, this is after saying he was with his soulmate and, you know, et cetera. It's, like, offensive that he would even pretend.
Is it bad that I'm going to start using the phrase hiking the Appalachian Trail having sex?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that it marks a sort of, maybe it marks her as a pioneer in the spurned wife political wife category, because it's what I don't know. I mean, I guess I sort of do, but like, what is the motivation to stay with Hillary Clinton? I can kind of understand she had her own aspirations. It would have been probably difficult to move on those if she had gotten a divorce, but which is also messed up.
Well, it's ironic because in my mind I would have been like, wow, she She said, I'm not going to stand by someone who disrespects me, and I'm going to continue with my career. But of course, that's not how the rest of America thinks.
So, yeah, and that's what's so curious to me is, like, why does the rest of America think that that's a good thing? I mean, is that, like, the norm of what most marriages are? Is that a reflection of what we are? Like, what...
Right, or what we want a marriage to look like? I mean, I certainly don't respect... I mean, you know, obviously we don't know all this, all the details, but it's not like I just inherently feel more respect for somebody who sticks around... I mean, staying in a marriage with someone like that does not seem like a smart move to me. And it does seem like a situation where it does seem like it's usually a man. I mean, I can't think of a situation where the gender roles have been reversed here, but...
I think that probably the wife gets pressured immensely and perhaps offered money or whatever to stick around.
Because of his political career. Right.
I mean, because the political world is a totally different world. I don't think that we would expect, you know, our friend in, you know, any town USA to put up with what the wives of politicians are expected to put up with.
Or a Tiger Woods wife is saying, too, you know, I mean, this idea that if the transgressor makes a lot of money and has a lot of power, then it's your role as their spouse to stick around and help them, like, maintain their image because... Who are you without them anyway?
Well,
you
know? That's my question, is why is the image of a fucked up marriage that's the woman clearly doesn't even want to really be in anymore present better than a woman making a smart move?
Well, there's got to be press people doing market research. I mean, I think for us sitting here, it's easy to say that is a really fucked up, you know, situation to put to keep yourself in, but... who knows? I mean, maybe there's been polling and, you know, people, I think that there is, at least historically, this idea that women are supposed to just let things slide, you know, like, it's really bad to, like, you know, air your dirty laundry. So, and if you are forced to, get it out of the way as quickly as possible and then try to forget. I mean, I feel like, you know, Larry Craig, I remember when that was happening and all of that, it's this huge thing for like a week or 2 weeks, and then it just sort of fades, mm-hmm. and then you can just pretty much bank that there's going to be another politician doing it 2 months later.
Right. No one seems to be learning from these mistakes.
No. So, I think can't even begin to imagine what they're researching. But
what's going on with John Edwards and his wife?
They're still together, right? I mean,
she hasn't been wearing her wedding ring.
But their situation was complicated by the fact that she has cancer.
Right, yeah. And that he told the woman that he'd been seeing basically that he was waiting for his wife to die before he married her, you know, this other woman. And it's just, you know, it's slimy, and my hope, because it seems like we can't hope that this is going to stop happening, right? But, you know, maybe Jenny Sanford can kind of mark, like you said, be a pioneer, like mark a turning point in the way that spouses handle these situations, where it's like, you know what, you don't deserve me to stick around and help your image. Like, you know, I'm leaving you, and you can go hike the Appalachian Trail.
All you want.
Yeah. I think it's just untested, and maybe she's willing to not get as much money or something like that, and she's just...
Well, it sounds like she does have a memoir coming out, Staying True, mm-hmm. to be released in April, which... I guess she means staying true to herself, right? Not to him. So, I mean, my assumption there is that she'll be generating her own income, so she doesn't really need, like, his financial support, which is good. I mean, maybe that is a silver lining for spouses who get cheated on by politicians, is, like, you can sell your story and that make it possible for you to leave, right?
The sad thing is oftentimes spouses of politicians, female spouses of politicians, are women who are... have their own achievements that have put them aside in order to be the first lady of South Carolina or whatever.
Right.
And I guess the question is, are they going to be able to go back to that? And I mean, it you know, it's basically like when you marry a politician and you're standing behind them, you sort of put your own stuff aside for a while.
It's crazy how, like, Michelle Obama is such an accomplished woman and mm-hmm. so bright and has... like done so much with her own work, and she's still portrayed, like, the media, she wants to portray her, and the White House does too, as, like, the mom in chief, you know, like,
yeah, and hosting parties and what she wears,
and we've seen that with other first ladies too, you know, and it's like, oh, she wore shorts on the plane, and oh, Hillary Clinton, you know, should be more of a mom because she's working too hard, and we do, as a, you know, as a voting society, seem like weirdly caught up with political marriages in a way that doesn't really make sense. You know, I mean, why couldn't a single person run for office? Mm-hmm. Like, why do they have to be in this marriage? I don't know. Maybe we're starting to see that unravel a little bit, because certainly we've seen that these political marriages are not what they look like.
Yeah.
You know, at least, I mean, I'd feel really sad if I found out the Obama's marriage wasn't what it looks like, because I really like, you know, that family in the White House. But still, you know, you never know. You can't count on a politician to be any.
We'll talk about perfect man, but there's got to be something going on.
Well, we know he smokes. Yeah. We know he smokes.
It's true.
I mean, can that be the worst of it?
I hope it is. Our country will fall apart if we can't count on him to lead us.
Do you remember when Hillary Clinton, someone asked her a question about her role as, like, her domestic role when Clinton was in the White House, and she said something like, "What do you think, I sit around and bake cookies?"
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she got a lot. I mean, again, like, hopefully it's kind of reflective of a societal shift, because, although this just happened today, the Sanford announcement, so we have yet to see what the, you know, the response will be. But, you know, remember Hillary Clinton said something about, I mean, she did stay with Bill, but she made a crack about, like, "I'm not just Tammy Wynette standing by my man." And mm-hmm. America was like, "How dare you criticize the notion of standing by your man?"
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what America's built on.
Standing by your man.
Yeah, and it's just
America's built on.
Yeah.
And Tammy Wynette.
And Tammy Wynette. Which, I mean, I'm a Tammy Wynette fan, but it's true that maybe our expectation shouldn't be that. You know, it's like Breyer said, if it was a friend outside of politics, we certainly wouldn't expect them mm-hmm. to just keep their mouths quiet, you know. But speaking of, well, kind of speaking of douchebags, because we're talking about sexual transgressors, there was an article posted on Jezebel 2 days ago that is near and dear to us here at Bitch, or about a topic near and dear to us here at Bitch, that says 4 reasons the douchebag has jumped the shark. And if you are a Bitch listener and reader, you know that we are pretty free with the word douchebag. And we have, you know, political and personal reasons for liking it. And I don't know, is douchebag dead? Their 4 reasons are, 1, nobody thinks about it, what it means anymore. 2, everybody's saying it now. 3, Gawker actually declared it dead last year. And 4, douchebag parodies have appeared. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm a douchebag fan. Is anyone here anti-douchebag?
I think people do think about what it means. I mean, we're constantly having people try to call us on it, saying that it is offensive because it's used as a derogatory term because it's a woman's cleansing product. And, of course, our response is that it's a harmful product, it's a useless product, it's something that is totally superfluous, like a douchebag, or someone who is useless.
Yeah.
So I think that, yes, perhaps some people aren't thinking about what it means, but I think a lot of people are, actually. And as far as them calling it dead because everyone uses it, I mean, that's just like saying I don't like a band because everyone likes it. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I would expect to come from the Gawker media.
Right, like, oh, you're a little too cool for school. Like, I mean, everyone uses the word bitch, but that doesn't mean it's not loaded anymore, that we don't continue to
have discussions about it. Yeah, I mean, what about the word cool? I mean, that word has been around for a long time, and it's doesn't show any signs of leaving our vocabulary. It's just slang. It's, you know, I don't know.
I don't think I've ever heard a slang term sum up what it's supposed to sum up better than the word douchebag.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't want to let it go. I'm not letting it go. Sorry.
Yeah, I really like the word superfluous. It's true. It's just like, why? I never thought about it that way. But yeah, why are you here? What are you contributing?
I'm going to stand by my douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that everyone's using it doesn't, to me, signify that it's over. To me, it signifies that, I mean, my hope, and certainly, yeah, we get feedback from a lot of people who really are thinking about what it means, and we use it really deliberately here. I mean, we have a douchebag decree every Thursday, and it is like someone who is, yeah, superfluous, who the media could do without, and who usually is doing something that is harmful to women in the way that, you know, douchebags are harmful to women. Like, we don't need you around. You're just irritating our genitals. So I agree with Johnanna. I can't think of a word that is more fitting. I don't know. It looks like in the article they actually listed a couple that they liked. Ass Clown. Oh, Ass Clown is the only one.
Ass Clown's been around for ages.
Yeah.
And then they're like, maybe we should just give up and be nice to each other.
Oh, right.
Please. Right.
Number one, I don't buy that Jezebel's going to do that. Number two, I don't think that's the solution. It's just, oh, get rid of the slang term and then never call anyone out on being a douche, you know?
There's always going to be room for more slang, but, you know, there's always tried and true favorites, and douchebag, I think, is going
to
be a favorite.
And it works, you know? It means what you want it to mean. It's not... Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say that I never use other slang, but even saying, like, oh, asshole, it's like, that doesn't really fit the way douchebag just feels right, mm-hmm. you know?
Douchebag feels right, baby.
Yeah.
I do have to say that it reminds me of a headline from The Onion, which is, Mel Brooks starts nonprofit foundation to save word schmuck. And I like that.
Also a word that I think works in context because it means like a foreskin that you throw away after a bris, right? And mm-hmm. so when someone's like, oh, he's such a schmuck, like he's such like a disposable piece of male genitalia. I mean, and that's one that we actually talked about using that here on the blog, and we decided not to just because that seems maybe to have even more of a negative connotation, because there are certainly a lot of people who think you need all your foreskin, right? You shouldn't throw part of it away. Whereas douchebag, it's like, that doesn't even seem that controversial to me. I mean, I'm surprised when people are like, oh, blah, 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 it's against women. It's like, are you kidding me? Who's pro-douchebag?
Yeah.
The product, you know? Nobody.
Do they still have douche commercials and stuff on TV?
I see them every once in a while. Really? Summer's Eve.
Summer's Eve.
Yeah.
Massengill.
Yeah. So, if you're listening, feel free to continue to use the word douchebag, but don't use actual douchebags.
But if I think it'd be interesting to have people write in and talk about maybe other slang.
If you've got another suggestion, we're open-minded. You know, I think we're clinging to douchebag because there's nothing we like better, you know. So if you can think of one, I'm trying to think of another, like, useless women's product, like a girdle or something.
Yeah, but it's like, he's such a girdle.
He's such a girdle.
He's constricting.
Such a sanitary napkin belt.
Pasty.
So, see, douchebag's working better so far. So far, so good. Clearly we like the word, but let's move on to some other stuff we like. Time for our bitch faves. Who wants to go first? Who's got a fave?
I'll start. I just saw the movie In the Loop, which it's out on video in select places, but it's sort of a... what's it called with a cast? Many people.
Ensemble?
Like, it's an ensemble cast, including a lot of British actors who I recognize, but I don't know by name. And then also people like James Gandolfini make appearances. And it's just a great satire on relations between the UK and the US and a sort of a fictional possibility of war and how they're dealing with it. And I just love the... First of all, it's the dialogue is fantastic, and the acting is great, and I feel like there's probably a lot of improvisation going on. They let the actor sort of play with it. But I thought the portrayal of the female politicians was fantastic, and like kind of an eye-opener. Just some of the situations they have to deal with in, you know, in what is still a, you know, I think a boys' club, and they show sort of different situations that, you know, that are that occur in the UK versus the US, and the sort of nuances between the two, but that ultimately the women are still dealing with this real boys' club situation, even though a lot of times they're the ones that are speaking the most sense. So it's funny and it's smart and the acting is great.
All right, Danny, do you have a fave?
Yeah, I actually just last night finished reading Cat's Eye by Margaret Atwood, and it was a really good book. I would definitely recommend it. Just, I personally love Margaret Atwood, but in this book in particular, it's about a woman who has become a pretty famous painter in present day, but then it keeps going back in tracing her history from childhood to present, and just how she learned to interact with other girls and how that has influenced her life as a painter and her life as an adult woman. And so it talks a lot about memory and what you can... When it does flashback, she's speaking from first person present, but then she forgets things, and she even weaves in a lot of Stephen Hawking's theories on space and time, and just about how forgotten memory, like her mom will remember certain things about her childhood that she forgets, and just how different memories have influenced. Like, you'll be reading about her in the present and you'll understand why she's acting that way, but she, as an adult, can't remember. But you know, because you just read about her childhood. It's really good. And it's sad, but it's also very witty, and it just makes you think. I'm still processing. I would recommend picking it up. Yeah, maybe it would be a good holiday gift. I don't know. For yourself.
Diana?
Yeah, I was at the gym the other day and just running on the treadmill, and the TV happened to be tuned to the Rachel Maddow show, which I haven't watched in a while, even though I love her. And she devoted like 10 or 15 minutes of airtime, like tons of airtime, to this dude. His last name is Cohen, I can't remember his first name, who's written a few books and makes a ton of money converting homosexuals to straight people. And I guess in Uganda right now there's some legislation up that's probably going to pass, and it basically is promoting really, really severe punishment for gay people who are gay there, including possibly death penalty situation. So, jeez. Rachel Maddow, and they've been, the Ugandan, some of the Ugandan government has been using this guy's books as support for their arguments for the legislation. And this guy, Cohen, is distancing himself from that and saying he doesn't have anything to do with it. And so Rachel Maddow had him on and just tore him up. And, I suggest YouTubing it, because I bet there's a lot of... I'm sure it's all over the internet right now. Yeah, it was just a really fun thing to watch this guy just completely get dismantled. And he's also... Talk about a douchebag. I thought it was cool that she... You know, usually on those shows, they get like 2 minutes and it's like worthless. But this was like this was like two lawyers going back and forth. And so... And at one point, the best part was when she's being really professional, and then she got super exasperated with his bullshit and called him dude.
Really?
Yeah. She goes, look, dude, it's right here in your book.
She slipped into a little Daily Show mode.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my fave is holiday themed this week. We were actually thinking about talking about holiday movies today and decided that they were just kind of like too crappy to deal with. But as an antidote for your holiday woes, I recently rewatched the Claymation Christmas special, Will Vinton Claymation Christmas special from, I believe that it's from like 1993. It's available to watch on YouTube, and it is so just fun, and the animals are really great, and it just feels like, you know, a kind of answer to these like Hallmark sort of cheesy women as kind of materialistic, weird family values that don't exist in real life holiday fare. This is, you know, it's like walruses ice skating, and it's a triceratops eating waffles, and it's a lot of just kind of fun Christmas carols, and it's all in claymation, which is really great. I mean, I don't know if anyone else was a California Raisins fan back in the day, but I certainly was, and they make an appearance too. They actually sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I hail from California, so.
So yeah, check it out. It's available online, and I'll actually post links to all of our faves on the blog. So check it out, and thanks for listening to this episode of Popaganda. Make sure to visit bitchmedia.org/audio for more of our audio offerings.